8 centuries ago, a fool roamed the streets of a little town called Assisi in Italy. He was born wealthy, yet he opted to live the way of poverty. He was called to rebuild the church, and one of his first acts was to strip naked in front of the bishop and the congregants, and he walked around in sackcloth. He was gifted with passion, and he used it to preach to birds and cattle and dogs and pigs, kind of like I'm doing this morning. This fool was Saint Francis. And Francis followed in the pathway of Jesus, and particularly the words that we read in the gospel today. God hides things from the wise and the intelligent, and God reveals them to infants and ordinary folks. You see, the fool, like Francis was, is the one who helps us to see things anew, to dismantle the accepted wisdom of the time. Now, 8 centuries later, the foolishness of St. Francis is now called eco-justice. And faith leaders, scientists, and savvy politicians are inviting us to follow this way. So just what is the way of Jesus revealed to us in the life of St. Francis the Fool? I'm going to be referring to the author Ilia De Leo, who is a Franciscan sister in Washington, D.C. She is a theologian and specializes in the area of science and religion. And one of her books I'd lovely like to recommend to you, called Care of Creation, A Franciscan Spirituality of the Earth. Now, she writes that St. Francis's example to us, the way that he lived in relationship with creation, invites us to participate with him. And the first participation, the first invitation, is to praise Creator God. There is something about the beauty of nature that moves us beyond ourselves. You only have to be seated in a bus crossing the Lions Gate Bridge to watch how at one moment everybody drops their cell phones and looks out the window. It draws us beyond ourselves. We are awed by this creativity, and it is the creativity of God. There are somewhere between 8.5 and 12 million species on Earth, and humans have only been able to name 1/6 of them. 1/6 of them, not even 20%. Such is the vastness of God's creativity. And so we follow the way of Francis, and we are moved to pray as we did this morning. Praised be you, God and Lord, with all your creatures. Second, Francis's example invites us to experience God in creation. Francis believed that God walked in creation in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about Jesus, we are usually referring to a God-man whose life and stories are written in the Gospels, included in our Christian Bible. Jesus is referred to at the beginning of John's Gospel as the Word, God's Word, made flesh. Jesus was with God in the beginning. All things come into being through Christ. Let's think a little broader. Whenever the material and the spiritual coincide, there is Christ. Word made flesh, the cosmic Christ. So when we talk about Christ, we are describing something much bigger and older than Jesus of Nazareth. At creation's beginning, there was Christ, Word made flesh. When fire was discovered, or nuclear energy, there was Christ, material and spiritual coinciding. Whenever a new star bursts into form on the edges of our galaxy, there is Christ, the cosmic Christ. And as we enlarge our understanding of God, we realize that we are living in the eco house of God, and everywhere is God revealed, Creator, Christ, and Spirit. Ilya Delayer writes, "The conventional visualization of the physical world was changed by Einstein, who showed that matter is itself a form of energy. Everything is both matter and energy. And if energy is spirit, this is a Christological world." What a thought! God's Word made flesh, everywhere, all the time, all around us, the fullness of Christ. And we are invited to live attentively to the particularities of creation. I was deeply moved by a story that I heard on a podcast last month. There was an interview with the botanist Alan Rabinowitz, and he was known to some as the Indiana Jones of wildlife conservation. He devoted his life to biology and the discovery of new animal species. And in this interview, he traced how he came to do this profession. And he started describing his childhood. He said he was a severe stutterer as a child. As long as he can remember, he couldn't get the words out. And because he stuttered, people viewed him differently, and he was put in special classes from kindergarten until sixth grade. But there was one thing he could do without stuttering. He could speak to animals. He said there was no expectation. There was no judgment there. His animals were little green turtles and hamsters and chameleons. Can you imagine this young boy, mute all day long at school? And when he came home, he spoke to his animals. The particularities of creation expressed in this story says something of the gentleness, kindness, love, and acceptance of Christ. These enfleshments of God were given to Alan when he could find it nowhere else. And as he grew in his attentiveness, he vowed that if he was ever able to find his voice, he would be the voice of animals. And that is what he did. Similarly, and lastly, St. Francis related to creation horizontally, and he invites us to do the same. When we speak of creation, we are speaking about a relationship. The word creation, unlike the word nature, implies relationship. Creation points to a creator, one who is in relationship with the natural world of which you and I are a part. The earth is God's. It is not ours, even though we act like it is in the way we utilize resources. And so this morning we are invited once again to think about our relationship to earth, and may it be one of love, care, and respectful responsibility as God's stewards. Just as we have used St. Francis' words, may creation become our kin, our brothers and sisters, our family. And if we no longer saw ourselves as entitled consumers of Earth's resources, but as family, as kin, would we not be moved to protect that which we love and that to which we belong? When creation becomes our kin, we stand up for her in the political sphere. When creation becomes our kin, we make careful economic choices, surrounding ourselves with things that are the Earth's friends: environmentally friendly food, fiber, and forestry products. When creation becomes our kin, we do not walk all over her, but we measure our ecological footprint, reducing our use of resources and the amount of waste we produce. And when creation becomes our kin, we will care for our bodies, our pets, our fellow humans, as we care and are cared for by Christ. For it is foolish not to. We are human, humus of the earth. Let us be fools ahead of our time. Amen.